Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study Galatians chapter 4, we were taught that when we are in the Lord's will, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us with the Father. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If you're going through trial as a child of God, know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. For He is the Spirit of Christ, the Christ who gave His life for you. The Holy Spirit groans. Now, He's not using our mouth for groaning sounds. Now, people will do that. They will sometimes lay around on a floor somewhere in a church building, whatever, and they'll make groans. But the Holy Spirit is doing this before the Father in His presence. You see, the groaning is not for people to hear, it's for God. It's an intercession to God. After searching our heart, He groans, He makes sounds that sound that He makes, that groaning, are sounds that men or angels cannot utter. This instead is a communion within the Trinity. And the great thing is, it is God's very Holy Spirit interceding for you, for me, before the Father. And it is bound in the finished work of Christ. So He intercedes as the Spirit of Christ, His groanings, not some man's laying on the floor. Because we can't groan. These are groanings that can't be uttered, we're told. So they can't be uttered. A guy laying on the floor making groanings is not the Holy Spirit of God. Maybe a man is trying so hard. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. But the great thing is this. He intercedes for us. But we also need to understand, only as we are fully surrendered and submitted to the will of God will this intercession take place. If we don't want the will of God, if we don't want that strong relationship with God, don't expect but the least amount of intercession. Because the intercession He's doing at that point is for you to get right and asking God to do things in your life that bring you to that rightness. Now, we also see that He's crying there over and over, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Again, Abba is like saying Daddy. No servant ever referred to the master as Daddy. Verse 1, the son did the work, the same work as the servant. But the servant, at the end of the day, could not say to the master, Daddy. I remember one time when I was in Israel, and I've been over there now several times, but I remember I was on a narrow path, and I was walking back toward the caves at En-Gedi, where David hid from King Saul. I came up upon a group and a little boy who looked to be about maybe 4 years old, And he saw me coming. His daddy had his back toward me as he's talking to the other men. And when the little boy saw me walking up with fear on his face, he grabbed his father's pant leg, and I heard him say, "Abba." Well, that's the very idea of the Spirit looking upon us as children. And he cries out to God for us, "Abba." As I said earlier, Father, in the Greek, has an article in front of it to show a specificness. Why Father, and then why Abba? Father would be the address of respect. Abba, of tender family, moment, and relationship. You know, I really don't want to go to someone's house and hear a little one saying, "Father, pray tell, what is on the telly?" We don't want that. No, Father is a term of respect. But Abba, Dad, Daddy, is a term of intimacy and relationship. This describes our relationship to God in the fullness of His deity, which is another reason it is so good to be a son, God, of the Savior. The Spirit is always directing us toward the Savior. In John 14:26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Isn't that great that the Father does that? "Whatsoever I have said unto you." In 15:26, he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." One of the things you'll know, people start saying things about the Holy Spirit, and they glorify the Holy Spirit without glorifying Christ. The Holy Spirit, when they have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, a person full of the Holy Spirit testifies for Christ. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does in that person. In our problems, the Comforter is a paraclete. That is, someone who stands beside us to help us and testifies of Christ, for he is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth gives not, again, gives not counsel or comfort that is born of the flesh. Rather, he gives us counsel of Christ to strengthen us and goes with us through the trial. If you allow him, he will always direct you to the teaching and words of Christ, as well as the person of Christ. And as John 16 tells us, he will even tell you of things to come. Let's see that, John 16, verses 13 through 15. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will," notice, "guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself." Again, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, "but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He," that is the Holy Spirit, "shall glorify me," that is Jesus Christ, "for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Oh, all of that's from the lips of Jesus, my friend. There are many, many out there who are trying to act like that they have the Holy Spirit, but they exalt the Holy Spirit instead of Christ. And we've just read what Jesus said the Holy Spirit's ministry is. And we find that we are no more a servant but a son. That legacy is for us. We go from being justly condemned sinner headed to the death row of eternal damnation in the lake of fire to the inheritance of the sons of God. What an amazing and glorious transition and transformation. Every time someone gets saved, my friend, they are gloriously saved. This verse, as it appears in the Textus Receptus, the Greek from which our New Testament comes, teaches that each of us individually is an heir of God by means of our salvation through Christ Jesus. And this is so consistent with Romans 8:16 and verse 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Why? Because that Spirit was given to us the moment we received Christ. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Jesus Christ has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. That is what the Galatians are being shown here. Clearly, this refutes the Judaizers. Dr. Harry Stanley, in his excellent treatise on Galatians, makes this astute observation. He says, the Textus Receptus clearly uses Christos. The critical text that all those other Bible versions come from leaves through Christ out, just as it leaves out, and it's talking about the Greek text of the critical text, which most of your English Bibles that aren't King James translated from, it leaves out in Colossians 1:14, through his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me ask you something. Is Christ important? Well, the Westcott and Hoard, who originally put together the critical text in 1881, said there was nothing major or doctrinal or of doctrinal importance left out. So, I ask, is leaving out the name of Christ important? Is leaving out redemption and forgiveness, being through his blood, leaving through his blood out of that, is that important? According to them, it's not important at all. I'm just going to go along with God on this, okay? His blood was important, and Christ was important. It's interesting. The Amplified Bible, in speaking of this, says, by the aid of God, when through Christ, and through Christ is italicized to show, it's not really supposed to be a part, but it's there. The New American Standard says, an heir through God. Leaves out through Christ.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.